Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092. Big stories, obviously, Cavaliers tonight, game three against the Indiana Pacers, trying to, you know, just trying to get back in this thing. If they can win tonight, it'll be 2-1. But if they lose, I'm glad that we don't have to work tomorrow. I'll just be honest with you on that. And then the other story, all the Browns rookies are back in town or are in town for the first time in Berea, and the quarterbacks are scheduled to speak tomorrow. We'll see who speaks today, and if it's worthwhile, we'll get it on the air for you. Maybe we'll play it live for you if you can. Otherwise, we'll just kind of play cuts. I'm sure the afternoon drive show will have cuts as well. All right, so Andrew Berry was on the morning show with Ken and Anthony this morning, and he did drop a lot of wisdom on us. Now, Jeff and I were just talking about this old notion about Nick Chubb, and you know, there is a feeling based on that conversation that we listened to this morning with Andrew Berry and Ken and Anthony that Nick is probably, like, it sounded to me like 99% gone. Is that a fair assumption?
Sounds like 98.4% gone.
Oh, you know, it would be nice.
Let's go 98.5.
No, let's go 92.3. I mean, why wouldn't we?
Because I think it's stronger than that.
I know, but I mean, we need all the help we can get.
98.5's on the Browns Radio Network.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, sometimes Led Zeppelin's better than we are. That's the problem.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay, good. All right, so here's what he had to say. Cut 10, the latest on Nick Chubb. This is Andrew Berry.
Have you talked to Nick Chubb recently?
Certainly kept in contact with him and his reps, you know, leading into the draft. We haven't really necessarily been in strong communication after the draft.
So you can't rule anything out with him coming back?
I wouldn't rule anything out, but I would say that it's probably increasingly unlikely. Like, we do have, you know, two young guys that we like. You know, we think Jerome plays a role, and it's basically kind of maybe seeing how the roles shake out. Look, you're never going to rule out someone, you know, as near and dear to our heart as Nick, and I would expect him to take another step, you know, being a year removed from the knee injury. But I'd say it's maybe a return is less likely, at least in the short term, with us right now.
Isn't that fair, though?
Yeah, he's being honest. And let's not forget, we didn't even talk about this, too. Remember, Jerome Ford took a pay cut to stick around.
Yeah. See, would anybody want to see Nick Chubb as the third running back on the Browns?
I think they want to see him on the roster so that he's an option that you can use him at any point. And you're probably going to sit around on third down all the time saying, why isn't Chubb in there? And there might be opportunities where you don't see him. You know what I'm saying? Where they may not see him as the featured third round, the team itself, especially throughout practice and trying to come back from injury and things that we don't see throughout the week may become, you know, the catalyst for playing or not playing on Sunday in a lot of situations. So I just think, and I know this is where we differ, Jeff, I think the fans are going to look at this as, look, they drafted Sampson, they drafted Judkins, Ford was on the roster, and they decided rather than to bring Nick Chubb back, they decided to stay with Jerome Ford because fans don't say, and I understand, and I agree with you, he has been a contributor to this team, but I just think fans see this as they chose Ford over Chubb. That's the way it's going to be perceived.
I think they chose Judkins over Chubb. I don't see Nick Chubb being anybody's third running back. I see Nick retiring before that happens. Mm-hmm. And Andy, it wouldn't surprise me if Nick went out and had a good year this year. It wouldn't surprise me. He's a hell of a football player.
You want to play Wheel of Regret, that's going to spin the Wheel of Regret.
Yeah, I mean, but one good year or 8 good years out of Quinshon Judkins. I mean, I hate it. It's the reality of the National Football League. It's the reality of pro sports. At times, it's time to move on from some of the great players that you've had on your team.
Dan, do you see any validity in what I'm saying, that fans will perceive this as they kept Ford over Chubb?
I don't even think fans are going to look at it as a singular person that they kept over Nick Chubb. I think it's just going to flat out turn into, why the hell is Nick Chubb not on this roster? I don't even think there's a singular person you can point to except anybody in the front office. It's the problem when you – problem is the wrong word. It's the situation you put yourself in when you have a legend I would say. I mean, the legend of Nick Chubb has
aging legend with two huge knee injuries.
The legend of Nick Chubb has almost grown bigger than the Nick Chubb itself. The Batman Nick Chubb is almost living larger than Nick Chubb. And what Nick Chubb stands for almost lives larger than the human that is Nick Chubb, too. And so you're fighting against a feeling. And logic rarely wins against feeling, especially when it comes to a fan base.
That was well said by you.
Thanks. Years of watching Star Trek and watching Kirk have to pick between Spock and Bones. Yeah. You know, you learn these things.
I'm just going to read a couple texts I got, personal ones from just people I know around town. Not trying to be angry with Andrew Berry, even though if I take all the emotion out on the Nick Chubb stuff, I'm still taking him 10 times out of 10 before Ford. I'm just telling you, these are just random.
As the third running back, Andy?
Yeah, well, it's the perception. Like, I don't think anyone sees it as 1-2-3.
Or maybe the second, with Samson being the third.
I got a guy here. Extremely talented athlete, person, friend of mine that I wouldn't, is extremely talented athlete. I would take Chubb on one leg before Ford or Strong. Ford is an average back. I would rather bring Chubb back on some incentive laden contract and have my young backs learn from him over Ford.
That's okay. You tell Nick Chubb he's not going to play.
You tell Nick Chubb I need you to go play special teams.
Yeah,
that's what third running backs do.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. That, to me, is probably what was the deciding factor. But you know what? I bet Nick would do it.
Oh, God, I hope not.
I'm just telling you. I think he would do it.
That would be awful.
There are plenty of starters that find themselves on special teams all the time. It's not, I mean,
legendary running back with two devastating knee injuries. Go cover a punt.
Yeah, like,
oh,
I
my
don't,
God, please.
I mean, this
why
is
not
gonna sound...
put him on these soft kickoffs, then?
I mean, well, does
why
anybody...
bother?
Does anybody have memory of watching LT return or work punt coverage? Does anybody have memory of Emmett Smith returning? All that kind of stuff? Like,
no.
Marshall Faulk?
No.
Like, that's kind of not what you do when those guys hit the top of the mountain.
Speaking
Jamal
of,
Charles never did it. Priest Holmes never did it.
Speaking of Nick is in Talmadge. Hi, Nick, how are you?
Guys, how are you?
Good. What are your thoughts on this?
I have two quick thoughts. One is... With Nick Chubb, I like with the Cleveland Browns, I've never seen a team. I consider them like the Chicago White Sox of the NFL. I've never seen a team that is so poor at having mentorship and developing players than the Cleveland Browns. Now, I may be biased because I see them more often. I've been a ticket holder ever since they came back. I'm 53, so I've been watching them since I was a kid, and I love them. But just like everyone, they frustrate the heck out of me. I don't know how keeping Nick Chubb can be a downside. The guy has been so loyal. And for me as a fan, I still go when they stink. But I want to be entertained. I want to have somebody to root for. I will root for Nick Chubb wherever he goes, but I don't want to. I mean, I'm a grown man. I don't buy jerseys. But my niece and nephew bought me a Nick Chubb jersey, so I wear it to games. So I'm that guy. So I just don't know how an organization like us makes that decision for a quality human like that, because sports takes us away from the rigors of life, and them not being loyal is just an extension of life, and I don't like it. It's my first thought.
Nick, maybe they were loyal when they gave him a nice contract last year, and knowing that he might not be the back that he used to be. I mean, he had a couple of decent games late before he was injured again with the foot, but you know, maybe they have shown him loyalty.
And, Jeff, I get it, and you play devil's advocate as good as anybody I know on the radio.
Thanks.
I just
trust me. Do you know what it's like to sit next to the devil?
The advocate, Andy, not the devil.
Yes.
The highlight of it is that he bathes.
No, that's true. He's got that going.
But for me, Jeff, that's not good enough. And my second thought is, I don't know if you guys gamble, but I go to casinos. And when you play certain games, card games, you know, you have the side pot, a minimum of one, maximum of five. If you hit it, you get, like, ridiculous odds, right?
Right.
Whether it's a fire bet on a crap table or you can double down in blackjack.
Right. Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Andy,
okay,
doubling down in blackjack.
Keep going.
Yeah, right. Well, I love betting, but I never do what they offer because they're not going to offer something that's in the house's worst. Or that's not in their favor, right? They're not going to offer you as a gambler something that you can win on more than you can lose.
Wow.
It's Vegas.
So you don't double down, huh, Nick?
Nick, you got an 11 and the guy and the dealer's got a 5?
Six.
You're not doubling down?
Here's what I'll tell you, Andy. Very, very seldom. Because if I could count up all the, just like I wish I could count all the money I threw away in video games when I was a kid, I wish I could count how many times I've won versus lost in doubling down. And I'd still tell you, even with those 11s against 5s, I'm still not in my favor, and Vegas knows that. But the point I'm making
is... Hey, you know what, though? Let me just say this, Nick, and I'm just saying this on behalf of anyone that's ever sat at a blackjack table. At least you're not messing up the cards, right? If you choose not to double down, you're not messing up the cards. So, okay.
That's correct. Yes. And again, that's a whole nother set of...
Yes, it is.
...about messing up cards.
Yes.
But my point is, I look at the Browns like Vegas. If something comes out of... I just haven't been... uberly impressed. I'm a huge Stefanski fan. I don't know how much I like Barry, and I know everyone seems to think they come in a pair, but I don't think so. But I look at Barry like the same way I look at Vegas. If he's telling me something that they're going to do, I probably disagree with it. Yeah. Like the way he talks about Chubb, and Jeff, I know what you can go back and say about the contract. I just don't think it's best for the team. I don't know why we don't have the mentorship and development, and that's the single biggest problem in our franchise. And I just don't know why you get rid of somebody that could be that guy. Mm-hmm. And he's been that way. He's been that silent leader. He's just so important if you're bringing in all these young kids. And I just don't know. I just think it's worth it. That's my opinion.
It's all good.
I'm a fan, and I'm dusted.
Thank you. Have a good weekend, my friend. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, so Andrew was asked on the morning show today about thinking about not having Nick Chubb on our roster and perhaps playing on another one. That is cut 11.
It meant a lot to the organization and meant a lot to the community. But you know, the reality is, like, look, I'd love for key players in our organization to stay with us forever. Unfortunately, the sport doesn't allow that. And so, like, that's part of the tough parts of the job.
It is. I mean, Jeff, this is where I think you have a much clearer vision on these things than I do when it comes to the front office and trying to disassociate Nick Chubb from, and I would just say Nick Chubb LLC, the football player, the football corporation. You know, if you wanted to look at Nick as his own individual business, then you might need to bring in a different vendor, and that's what they're looking at. You know what I'm saying? That's like, it's very hard and very cold, but I mean, as a person, sometimes you have to look at yourself. How people say it's only business. Well, sometimes you have to look at yourself as your own, your own corporation.
You know, what I don't know, you tell me if you know. Mm-hmm. Do we know if the Browns offered him a nice contract?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't either. And
Jerome Ford. I mean, they offered Jerome Ford the opportunity to stay for
a pay
less.
Cut.
Yes.
You know, so I mean, Andy, they didn't do Jerome any favors.
No. Pro Football Talk said his contract went from... I'm sorry, Mary Kay Cabot.
$1.75 million guaranteed.
Yeah, but Mary Kay Cabot said on Cleveland.com that he took a salary reduction of $3.486 million to a guaranteed $1.75.
What's that tell you?
Tells you he wanted to be...
Jerome Ford thought, okay, $1.75 in the bank is better than rolling the dice behind two guys they just drafted.
It's true.
And he might not have been confident about his ability to get that elsewhere, Andy.
That's true. All right, Lou in North Royalton, what do you got, my friend?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hi, Lou.
Good.
Hey, I'm going on record right now. When Chubb blew out his knee his junior year in college, so he missed his senior year. Mm-hmm. The Browns drafted him. Hugh Jackson didn't know how to use him until the middle of the season. So basically, it takes about 2 years to come back from an ACL tear. Nick Chubb will be the Saquon Barkley of 2025. He will win comeback player of the year. He will get offensive player of the year. And I think he will get MVP. If he puts up numbers like Saquon Barkley did, and you got the Browns offensive line is back. So, and they're going back to that zone run offense, zone blocking run offense of Kevin Stefanski. And you saw what Chubb did that in 2022 when he ran for over 1,500 yards. And they didn't rush the ball that much. They threw the ball more than they ran it. So I'm telling you guys right now, I'm going on record right now on your show, Chubb will be comeback player of the year next year.
Lou in North Royalton, thank you. He predicts it. He's saying Nick Chubb, comeback player of the year.
Lou, North
Royalton. I wish, I wonder, can we give them one of these golf mugs, coffee mugs that two of the other morning shows in our little cluster here are giving away currently? Can we give him one of their mugs?
Get a Jen and Tim mug?
Yeah.
I don't think I can go any further in this without making a reference to the jerk. So I'm just going to hush.
What, all you need is this mug? And this dog?
I'll tell you in the break.
I'm glad Browns fans like Nick Chubb as much as they do. And I think he's incredible. But I completely understand what it was they did and why they did it.
I don't know. All right. I want to bring up another point that was brought up in their interview this morning with Andrew Berry. Just chock full of information. Plus, we're going to end up going out to Bree here at some point. Hopefully, we get to hear from a rookie or hear what the rookies are having to say while they're reporting to Berea. Also, we're keeping our ear on what exactly is going on with the Cavaliers tonight. There was a good sign this morning. The three injured guys were out there during shoot around, and hopefully they'll be able to play tonight. But when we come back, the importance of mock drafts and the reality that they may have, that was discussed this morning with Andrew Berry, with Ken and Anthony. We'll talk more about that when we come back. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. You know the number, 216-474-0092, 216-474-0092. You can always hit us up on social media at CLE Talking Heads. We've been kind of going through this interview that happened this morning with Ken and Anthony. Andrew Berry, the Browns general manager, was on with him today, and he was welcoming in the rookies as they showed up. They're here for the weekend, so it's rookie mini camp. We're going to hear from some of them throughout the day, whether it's us or afternoon drive. You'll be hearing what the rookies have to say as they've come in. In fact, there was one rookie who was in awe, I think, of another rookie, and we're going to play that cut for you here in just a few moments. But I thought this could be one of the most interesting things that Andrew Berry said this morning on the morning show. And it makes me want to think, if you really want to be an influencer for the Cleveland Browns, go out and make up your own mock draft. Go out and make up your own mock draft, my friend. And maybe if it gets popular, you could have influence on what the Browns are doing in the draft. You got to hear this. Andrew Berry.
There is some of that, but it's probably not just, we'll use the betting markets in Vegas. We'll use the mock drafts, usually with publishers who may be getting their intel from team sources, because not all mock drafts are created equal. And you may get a general sense of the market. Now, there comes a point in the draft where boards diverge pretty heavily, and that's usually probably early to mid third round. So you do have to take it with a grain of salt. But if you can aggregate some of the information, it's not something that you just kind of buy hook, line, and sinker, but it is something that can be helpful when used appropriately.
Wow.
Okay.
So he talked about how the betting how they look at the betting market.
What did he say? Did he call it the betting market or betting line? Forget exactly the
terminology. I think he said betting market.
What do you know? They're looking at stuff.
So he's looking to see, because you have to figure that they know that Vegas is getting their information from somewhere. Vegas isn't hurting for cash, right?
They seem to be doing okay for themselves.
Yeah, I've kind of noticed that.
That whole come on out and gamble seems to be working for them.
They seem to build monuments to their successes.
Absolutely.
It's all about the sun out there, though, too. I mean, they do have good weather.
They seem to build monuments to their successes.
They have good weather about 6 months out of the year, don't they? And then really good air conditioning the other six.
Well, when it gets cold there, man, it gets really cold, too.
Not in the winter, or not in the summer, excuse me.
I was out there once, man. It was the weather was brutal. Oh, it was freezing.
It's a desert.
It gets cold.
Yeah, it's a desert.
Yeah, in the desert.
Those things tend to get cold sometimes.
I don't know. I haven't spent a whole lot of time. Tell us about the Jeff Phelps adventures in the desert. Dun, 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 dun.
I've spent some time in the desert.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Doing what?
Playing golf and freezing because it's cold in the morning in the desert.
Oh, I didn't realize realize you were glamping. I thought maybe you took a tent and decided to sleep outside.
I was hoping you were roping cattle.
Yeah.
Get along, little doggy.
I could see that. Take that horse out there on that ridge. Take a look out.
Jeff's not gruff enough for that. You'd have to go 3 or 4 days without shaving. You'd have to have the stubble going, too.
You'd never see it.
What, the stubble?
Yeah. It's about 5 weeks for me to grow stubble.
Baked beans over a campfire.
Is anybody kind of a little shocked that he admitted that they look at mock drafts and the betting line?
No, you know why?
Smart?
They're an analytic-driven organization. And as he said, some of these guys, we know, you know, the good sources and everything else. If you're Andrew Berry, if you're Paul DePodesta, they have so many people on staff, you should be looking at all sources of information. And if you see, hey, wait a minute, this guy is higher than we think he should be in every one of these betting lines. Hmm. Now, at that point, you don't go, let's go get him. At that point, you do this.
I'd like to put...
let's call and find out a little bit more and blah, 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 blah. I mean, they got a lot of people who can do that kind of stuff.
How about the mock draft line, though, that they probably know guys that are connected to teams in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And that's why they look at those mock drafts.
That they know where the guys... Andy, they should do everything they can to obtain information and then figure it out from there. You know, you don't look at a mock draft and go, oh, my God, they have, you know, Andy Baskin going 7th overall. Let's take him. At that point, they look at it and say, okay, let's do a little deeper digging because we're seeing a trend here.
Ooh, we better take Baskin 3rd overall. Is that what you're thinking?
Or let him slide to the 5th.
I didn't, 3rd overall in the 5th round. I was already.
Oh.
You know, thanks. See how you are. So I don't know. I as a fan, does that scare you a little? Does that make you respect them a little bit more? Does that make you respect the mock drafts a little bit more? Does that make you want to look at the betting lines a little bit more before a draft? Because no. I mean, if teams are going to be looking at that to kind of see where other people might have information or try to, you know, set up their own board based on some influence from that. I thought that was it was kind of eye-opening to me.
I want to see them get information. I did think it was very interesting that he said they look at the Vegas stuff. But what does my friend Andy Baskin tell me all the time?
Vegas never loses?
You always say they know their stuff.
Vegas
does. They always seem to be right, don't they? So why wouldn't you look at something that's always right? And then you make your own determination from there. But I applaud them, and I'm sure the Browns aren't the only ones that look at different sources of information, gather sources of information, and use it to help them frame what they want to do. That's great, smart.
I thought it was interesting because we were, you know, I kept thinking in this series for the Cavs and Pacers, like, first team to 120 is going to win, and that was just based on looking at their scores throughout the year. And that's how that kind of plays out. So before the series, I was like, I wonder what Vegas thinks about what the combined score is. And so just for the fun of it, I looked at it for game one for the Cavs. And I think, I'm trying to remember, the final score of game one
238, was... 238, something like that.
Was it 235?
I don't know.
So the combined over-under in game one was only like a... I mean, they were only off by like a point and a half. I mean, to me, it's,
you know why they set those? Because let's make it attractive for people to try and wager.
For sure. But yeah. I mean, to be so close every time. I mean, I'm sure it's not every time, but what's tonight? 226, I think was something like that. 226 and a half for tonight. And you're sitting there and you're like, how do these guys know that? I mean, it's incredible how close they are when it comes to, and that's combined score of two teams.
Although, keep this in mind.
And then at the end of game one, just so you know, that like they had it, I was at the end of the game, I'm like, look at this, man. Look how close Vegas was. They were only off by like 2 points. And I don't think anyone took a shot in the last two times the team had the ball. It was one of those gentlemen wins at the end. And neither team took a shot. So I was like, wow, if they were still playing hard, they would go to the over. And I'm sure people sitting home going, looking at the over and under, they're like, shoot the ball. Vegas is pretty smart. And so I don't blame the Browns for looking at that.
They should.
Yeah, I don't blame the Browns way, shape, or form for trying to do that. I also I wanted to ask you about this too. So our newest tight end from Bowling Green, Dan.
Canton McKinley High School.
Yeah. And, you know, we talk about the power and the
Harold
impact.
Fannin.
We talk about the power and impact of Shedeur Sanders. He talked about being on the same team with him. I think that's what he said this morning. Let's listen to this.
How aware are you of all the attention that Shedeur Sanders is getting both locally
and nationally, all over social media, ESPN, everywhere you go, it's Shador time. So are you guys aware of that? Are you aware of that? And what do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, that's definitely dope for him. I mean, I guess it's a good thing for him. You know, he could use that to his advantage, you know, or whatever. Yeah, I mean, I always see him on TikTok or something. It's pretty cool that I get to, you know, be in the same locker room as him, for sure.
I think it's dope for you, too, Andy.
It's dope for you, Jeff.
Thanks.
That was dope.
No, you're just dope. That's what I was trying to say.
That was dope.
Say no to dope.
Do we have to go through? Do we have to do this?
What, are you people on dope?
Are you? Are you dopey?
Is it bad? This concerns me.
Here's the, well, no, can I throw this in, Dan?
Make me a bad person.
What? When Harold's asked that, and that was Mary Kay, what are these guys supposed to say? You know what? I don't care. He was taking two rounds after me. I don't care.
What would you advise? I can tell you exactly what I would
advise. I would advise him to say exactly what he said.
You're like, you know what?
This is really cool. He seems like a great guy. I'm looking forward to playing football
exactly
with him.
That's exactly it, man. I am really looking forward to playing football with him and everyone else.
And Dylan, I can't wait to get out there with both of these guys.
Because you don't want to make it sound like you're trying to politic for one over the other.
Absolutely.
So, well, I just feel like we're a really talented class that was drafted, and we are so looking forward. I've had a chance to meet my new teammates, and man, we really bonded well over the weekend, and I cannot wait to show the city of Cleveland what I can do, but not only that, the rest of my draft class, because we're going to make you proud.
Yeah, that's making me mad.
There you go.
You know why?
Why?
In accordance with the radioactive 1927, equal time for Dylan Gabriel.
Shador is getting way too many questions. I want to hear some of the rookies asked about Dylan Gabriel. I want to hear one of them come back and say, you know what? He was a starter for his first 3 years at UCF, but then was injured after three games as a junior. He broke his collarbone. I want them to have knowledge.
Have we fulfilled our obligations under the Radio Act?
Of 1927?
Yes.
We just got to make sure, man. By the way, can I throw one thought at you real quick in a very short period of time here?
Were coaches' girlfriends allowed into practice in 1927?
No, that's apparently the next segment.
Oh, okay.
The Jacksonville Jaguars dumped Gabe Davis.
Oh, yeah. We were
wide receiver.
Yes.
Gabe was pretty good for the Buffalo Bills for a number of years. And I'm not saying Pro Bowl guy, but he signed a nice contract with Jacksonville. Then you get a new head coach. You get a new general manager. They got rid of Christian Kirk. They got rid of Evan Ingram. They're cleaning it out. They drafted Travis Hunter after the trade with the Browns. And now they've cut Gabe Davis. Pretty big guy, physical. I'd take a look if I were the Browns.
I was going to say, do we need to make this official?
Do we want him? 216-474-0092. Do we want him? 216-474-0092.
Yes, I would add him to the list of guys that I would be very willing to bring in and take a good look at and even give him money. And if I was looking for a little extra information on him, I would talk to the man who threw him passes during his last year at UCF, and that would be Mr. Dylan Gabriel. They were teammates together, Dylan's freshman year and Gabe Davis's junior year. And Dylan was good as a freshman coming in, and Gabe Davis had his best year at UCF. So if I was looking for a little insight, I have it right there in my locker room. So, Andy,
I'm with you.
Amari Cooper, Gabe Davis, Keenan Allen. I mean, there are guys out there who I would still bring in. DJ Chark. I mean, And I'm not saying any of these guys are the answer. In fact, Davis might be the best of the bunch as far as a guy that you think could come in and make the team. Big, strong, physical guy. I think they need to take a look at one or more of these guys.
Right now,
but he was teammates with Dylan Gabriel, I wonder if that means anything.
I thought about that, too. When you said UCF, I thought the same thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, is he better than Jerry Jeudy?
Well, no.
And I'm asking you, can you get him into the group, right? Is he better than Jamari
Fresh? Yes, he is.
Is he better than Cedric Tillman?
Yes, he is right now.
Is he better than Deontay Johnson?
He's better than everybody we have other than Jerry Jeudy. Now, he did get waived with an injury designation. I think he messed up his MCL, but he's expected to be good to go, and he'll be on a team. Rumors about Buffalo, going back to Buffalo.
All right, let's come back. I have some other NFL stuff I want to talk to you about, too, especially with the schedule. Oh, yeah, we're talking about the schedule. And, man, Dan's got a great topic we're going to talk about. Of course, it has to do with food. We'll do that next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092. All right, so some bigger news today. Sham Charania was on the McAfee show.
ESPN and, basketball.
Yeah, and so we've been talking all day. So we got good news earlier this morning that the injured guys had gone to shoot around, and, you know, that was great news. Like, you're like, okay, are these three guys going to play? What's it going to mean? Can it help the Cavaliers out tonight if they can get these guys back, if they can get Mobley back, you know, if they can get Garland back, if they can get Hunter back? And here's what Shams had to say today on McAfee show.
I'm expecting Darius Garland to definitely be in tonight. He wants to play. He wants to give it a go. He's missed, I guess, the last 2 weeks. I think it's been two and a half weeks he's been dealing with this toe injury. All three, to my knowledge, are aiming to go into tonight's game with the intent to warm up and play in this pivotal game three.
Well, he's right. It's a pivotal game three. Is that the difference, though, between winning and losing if they can get these three guys out on the floor? You know, we talked earlier in the show, Jeff hesitant on the Cavaliers tonight, in fact, saying that Indiana was winning. But I'm going to let you say it because I don't want to say it for you.
I think Indiana wins tonight.
Right, I think the Cavs win tonight. I think that the Cavs have to weather the storm early on. I think it's going to be a hostile atmosphere when this thing first starts. And if they can just kind of barrel their way through the first half, I think that they're going to find that some of the things they were able to do all season long. And I'm not saying these guys are going to get extended, you know, playing time tonight, especially coming off an injury. And like you said, Garland's been out for, is it five games now? Is that right?
Four playoff, and yeah. He missed at the end of the regular season. I don't know how many games, and then he came back for the first two games against Miami.
Yeah, so he two and two, four. This would be the fifth then. That, you know, can they make a difference? Do you think having these three guys back tonight, having the team be whole, getting their all-stars back, is going to be enough to make a difference tonight to get this thing to 2-1? Because everyone knows, if you look at this thing and you're at 2-1, man, it just smells, feels, and can give you a glimmer of hope of being able to stay alive and try to push this thing into a best of three series is what you're really hoping for. But you got to win the next two. You got to win the next two. And guess what? You can't win two games tonight. You got to win one tonight. So even if these guys are banged up or they're hurt, you know, just if they can give it to you tonight, then you got a shot to be down 2-1. And that would be a huge boost.
You're assuming, though, I don't mean you, I mean anybody, assuming that, oh, these guys are back and they're 100%. I don't know that that's the case.
Is anybody 100% right now, though?
Yeah.
No one's 100%.
Yeah. Well, in
Halliburton's not 100%.
When it comes to NBA playoffs, yeah, you're as good as you're going to get.
Right.
But, you know, these guys might not be 100%, but they also haven't missed playoff games because of injury. There's a big difference there.
You heard Shams. You know the three guys were out there for shoot-around this morning. Does this kind of change your mind? Does it give you hope? Do you think the Cavs can win tonight in Indianapolis after the way the Pacers have played and literally ripped their heart from them in game number two with 1.1 seconds to go? Literally ripped it out. I mean, you had that game. You were up 20. All of a sudden now at the end of the game, you're done. And I also wonder how much, you know, fairy dust is on this team right now, because that's not the first time they've won a game in the playoffs like that, to be able to win and be down so much at the end. And, you know, that's how they got here against Milwaukee. I mean, that was the catalyst to get them to the Cavaliers. Now they did it again. Like, how many times can you pull that rabbit out of a hat?
That's a fine question. They have to have tonight. If they want to win this series, they have to have tonight. And, Andy, I disagree with you on this. I don't think they need to win both games in Indiana.
You think they can come back down 3-1?
I think if they win tonight and lose game four and are down 3-1, they have a chance. You know, teams don't come back from 3-0. They do come back from 3-1. Not very often. You know, we know when it happened for the first time in the NBA Finals. But it can be done. They're just in a very difficult spot. I think you and I have switched. I thought the Cavs would win game two. I know you were really hesitant to think that with everybody out.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have flopped tonight. I just think Indiana is going to be so geeked up and focused because they know what a win tonight could mean for them. And the Cavs guys, even if they play, Andy, they're still dinged up, man. That's not, these are not easy injuries. I mean, sprained ankle, you know, at least for Evan Mobley. If he has a sprained ankle, okay, tape it up, shoot it up, whatever you're going to do, go play.
Just tape an aspirin to it. That's all you have
to do. That's what they say.
So I heard. I heard that works.
Darius's big toe, if it allows him to start the game, great. Will it allow him to finish the game? You know, that's a big question.
That is a big
question. And how effective can DeAndre Hunter be with a messed up thumb? He might be the guy who's the most effective of all, Andy.
Yeah, I'm worried about him. I don't know what the ankle looks like. The toe,
his legs are okay, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Hunter can get out on the floor and move and everything else.
Yeah, but
he just might not be able to shoot, yeah.
Yeah, but then you're playing 5-on-4.
Well, they've been doing that whenever they put Isaac Okoro on the floor.
Feels that way, too. I agree with that. Yeah, 100%. I don't think you meant that to be
a joke.
That
wasn't a rim shot, no.
I thought that would be the better way than hearing from lawyers.
Thanks.
Do you want us to read his stats?
Just looking out for you.
30 minutes, 2 shots.
Avoiding billable hours. That's what we're here for.
That's no O.
Avoiding billable hours.
We avoid billable hours on this show.
That's a really good point. I wonder how effective DeAndre might be shooting the basketball, gripping the basketball. But if his feet are okay and they can tape it up and even put a splint on it to some extent, you know, he can be walk in the rim, into the ring with that taped up thumb. Who used to do that? Was that Jake the Snake Roberts, who had the taped up thumb, would gouge it into people's throats? DeAndre could pull that off tonight. Oh!
See, now I got to research.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Somebody had the taped up thumb and used it as a weapon.
Because they used the tape as a weapon?
No, it was just the wrestling shtick.
Ah, okay. Feel better.
All right, now I got to look this up. Hang on.
216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. What is your level of confidence tonight in the Cavaliers? Game 3, down 2-0 to the Indiana Pacers, with this knowledge of Shams Charania saying that all 3 guys should be back tonight. Do you have a better feel for this game tonight? Do you have confidence in the Cavaliers? Do you think the Cavs can beat the Pacers tonight? And I just think I think tonight's game is gigantic.
Well, it is. As opposed to the regular season. And here's where, and I'm not even going to say temper expectations about these guys. But don't you know, if these were regular season games, they would not be playing.
Oh, there's no way.
Which makes you think, okay, then they're going to be playing at less than 100%. At what capacity will they be playing, and at what level of effectiveness can they play? So, I mean, we're going to have to watch this and pay attention and see exactly how it plays out. It's huge. It's best that these guys are out there, Andy. If they can't be effective, then Kenny's going to have to do a little deep thinking. All right, do I leave my starter out there? Do I leave Darius? Do I leave Evan? Do I leave DeAndre? But they're not helping me. So Kenny's going to have to coach the heck out of the game, and these guys are going to have to see what they can do. You can be sure somebody, one of these 3 guys, Andy, is going to play and look like absolute normal. I'll guarantee you that. If 2 guys look like absolute normal, well, you should be good to go then.
All right. The hardest research I've ever done.
Really?
Mr. Phelps, you're close. It was the model Rick Martel with the taped thumb into Jake the Snake Roberts' eye.
Ah, okay.
All right. Uh-huh. 1991. I'm watching it right here.
Okay. There you go. Loved old wrestling.
Is there ever young wrestling?
Yeah. Current stuff.
I don't know. I look at what the Cavaliers should be able to do tonight. Again, I think it's about weathering the storm early on. I think it's about going into that atmosphere, which, I've never really heard that the Pacers weren't a good NBA town. I've never really thought about it. The game times I were there.
It's not a bad NBA town, but it's not, high school and college basketball are huge in Indiana. And it always seemed as if the Pacers kind of had to find themselves a little bit. I've been to more than a few games.
It's kind of a flip,
that,
though,
in
here.
In that field house where there were empty seats on nights you wouldn't think there would be empty seats.
Isn't it kind of a flip here, though, that I've always felt like when it comes to basketball, this has been more of an NBA town than college or
high school? Without question.
I think it's probably high school. I'm sorry. Pro, high school, college. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in Cleveland, I think definitely the case. With few exceptions, when Cleveland State, you know, back in the.
Made the run.
In the Kevin Mackey years.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Kent went to the Elite Eight. Akron's had a couple good years here.
Yeah. Without question.
I think people hop on the NCAA bandwagon.
I was thinking Cleveland more than anything.
Yeah.
You know, Indianapolis is close enough to Bloomington, if I'm not mistaken, that carries over.
So. Is it 45 minutes? Not even. Yeah. It's something like that. All right, let's come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the Cavaliers. I want to hear what you think. Do you think with the three guys back tonight, and that's what Sham Sharani is saying, we know that they went to shoot around this morning, so all signs pointing in the right direction about having these three guys that were hurt in Game 2 back for tonight's Game 3. Does that change your opinion of tonight's game? Can the Cavaliers win tonight's game? Will they be able to get back in it? Plus, we're also going to go out to Berea. Dylan Sampson spoke. We're going to hear a little bit about he had to say as he enters his first rookie mini camp with the Browns as well, the new Browns running back. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 0092, Baskin.